Well, good morning or good evening, whichever be the case when you're watching this. We are now in week two and getting good feedback and response from last week, and trust that things are going well with you and your group. Let's jump right on into the material here for unit two. And as we do this, keep in mind that there are going to be a number of things that you want to talk to your group about, miscellaneous things that are important. It's time to get your covenant back in. There is a spiritual assessment online. We would encourage you to have every man or woman in your group to do the spiritual assessment, and then we'll contrast that at the end of the year. They'll take the same self-evaluation. It's them taking it about themselves, and then make sure they give it to you as the leader so that you've got an opportunity to kind of get a feel for where they see themselves being, and then we can mark progress, see how we're doing in terms of making some good headway. It may be that you've got a retreat, men's retreat, ladies' retreat, you want them to put on the calendar. There are going to be other things coming up very soon. So I know in our church we're doing CIA, which is our Compassion in Action. We're trying to get groups to do them together if they will. There are just a number of different things. Be sure and encourage them. Do they understand they're supposed to have the answer? Have they purchased their answer yet? Do they know how to get to the MP3s? Do they? And by the way, we do have our assignment sheet now available online, which will you'll find it very easily to be able to help them see what their assignment is so they can go online and make sure every week what they're to do and what's expected. I keep kind of emphasizing these first few weeks, people weren't there last week maybe that show up this week. I want them to know that this is going to be a fairly intense since 6 weeks. There'll be more outside reading, there'll be more listening because of the MP3s, and then pretty much that'll wean away for the most part, and we'll be back to just the things that are in our manual. So encourage them well, keep them going strong. Here's how I would approach this particular week. As we're getting into the importance of disciplines, I want to talk to you as the leader just a minute as how you might want to encourage them. There's a great, great danger that we get into these disciplines as if this is what the Christian faith is all about, doing the right things. We do not want to go there. We want to encourage them to know that there is there's great importance to doing the right things. These disciplines are very important, and the word and prayer are means of grace. And we want to get the grace by these means as much as possible, but we can do the right thing for the wrong reason. One of the things that kind of give me an evidence that people are thinking that way is when I ask the question, which you might like to ask, the question simply being, how are you doing with the Lord right now? How do you feel your walk with the Lord over the last week has been, or something of that nature? And when I hear an answer like this, not too good, and I say, well, why is that? What do you think the reason is? And when they say, well, I just missed 3 or 4 times with the Lord this week. Well, that tells me they may well be in a performance trap, thinking that if they're spending time with the Lord well, then they're doing well with the Lord. I know in my own experience, I've had times where I'm 3 or 4 days and something's coming up. It's a busier than normal schedule. I get out of my routines. And then I have to ask, well, does that mean my relationship with the Lord is bad? Not necessarily if I'm away from Carol for 3 days because I'm traveling or she's gone or whatever, or we're just passing in the night, busy schedules, and somebody says, how's your marriage? I wouldn't say, oh, it's not doing too good because I haven't seen her much for 2 or 3 days. Now, let that pattern continue 3 weeks, 3 months. You know there's going to be a problem in the relationship coming along, but No, let's just not get into the performance thing. Keep pressing them on the gospel. It's what God has done for us through Christ, not what we do for Him. It's not in order that He would love us. It's because He loves us. So let's jump into some of the important things. When I started my group last night, we opened in prayer. And by the way, I'm a week ahead of you, and that's why I'm able to kind of speak out of my experience the day before. We opened in prayer. We had our scripture memory. It'd be interesting to watch how many of your folks pick the short scripture versus the long scripture. And that'll give an indication they're looking for the quickest way out, maybe. So, but encourage them there to do their scripture memory well. And we go around and let everybody just quote their scripture. And it's important that they understand the role that memorization plays in the process of meditation. Then we did two of our spiritual journeys, and I let guys share their story again. Then we had the opportunity to interact with them and say, hey, tell me about this part of your journey, or tell me about this part of your life. How was this? One person had gone through a hard divorce, and we asked him, what was it like? What did you go through? Another person had gone through an issue with something else that was a complication in his life, and we asked a little bit more about it. So just interact with them a little bit on that. Then I asked each one to go around and answer this question, which was very, very helpful. The question was, what is your greatest hindrance to faithfulness to pray and to read or study the Word of God? Now, I realize that I've got guys in my group that are brand new to prayer. One guy in my group last night said, I don't know anything about prayer. I wouldn't know how to pray. Has never had time in the Bible, never read the Bible. Until now, has never come to church. And so it's all new. You've got to always put it down to the level of those who are the newest coming into the walk of faith. But when I asked them about their greatest hindrances, it was so interesting. I said, which ones, how many of you find it more difficult because of making the time meaningful? How many of you find it more difficult making the time routine, regular? How many of you find it both or neither, if that be the case, which I don't think anybody said that neither was a struggle. And I shared as well in my own concerns for me. And so we walked through and went around and let everybody kind of share that. And I might have a little insight here or there, maybe not, but just to listen to where people are and then encourage them that one of the things that they're going to need is to get some good tools. And we're going to help them with their tools. In fact, we're going to begin even on this meeting to help them do just that. I'll get into the praise in just a minute and how we do that. There are a number of little details that I wanted to talk about there. I said, let's be honest. For some of us who have been in the faith a little while, we know all the many important things. We need to have Bible reading. We want to get a good 30,000-foot view of the Scriptures and so forth. And we want to dig in, do a little Bible study here or there. And we need to be reading some outside good Christian literature. We also want to make sure that we're reading a psalm every now and then and worshiping through the psalm. And we got a prayer list, and we got scripture memory. And the next thing you know, we're just overwhelmed and can't figure it out. I think of it like juggling. You got to keep too many balls in the air. And so I eliminate a few balls from time to time. And I think variety is important. Let your time be fresh with the Lord. And so I might do a little time of like during the year, I do scripture memory, and then summer I pull back from scripture memory a bit to do some other readings and other things. You might want to use a prayer list on Monday and Thursday, and just vary it however you please. But we're going to start everybody kind of on a foundational plan that we want everyone to go through. And it's called 21 Days of Worship. There's no legalism in it. In fact, I encourage my guys, have a prayer before you start saying, Lord, please don't let me do this thinking if I do 21 days in a row that I've done something special or important that's going to cause you to love me. That's not the way it works. But 21 days, many say, makes a habit. We want to build habits. I pray for my guys. I say, here's the way it works. I'm going to pray for you that you actually struggle getting 21 days, because the way it works is once you get to a certain day and you miss, you start back on day one. So I encourage you to make a little fun out of it with your guys, a little competition of sorts, but just don't let it become the wrong motivation. Then I say you can have one day, which is a free pass. Pick one day of the week, though. It's not a floating day. So you have 21 days and you get one day a week free. So 6 days a week, so 18 times that you're going to be doing this consistently with your three freebies. And see if we can't get to 21 days. And then I say, I'm going to pray for you that you get to about 19 or 20, and then you're going to have a failure. You're going to miss, and you're going to have to start all over. And that way, you're going to get 42 out of 43 or so days in a row, which is going to be all the better. But whatever the case, have them focus on that. Have them pick a time when they're going to want to spend time with the Lord. I ask each of our guys, how many of you that have been walking with the Lord and spending time with God, how many of you find the morning better? How many the evening? It's interesting. Every one of my guys who were spending time with the Lord said morning was the best time. Through the years, that has been my experience, finding that people who have been most faithful and consistent have been in the morning. There are exceptions. I told them that there are those things in Scripture that are prescription, and there are things that are descriptions. Prescription is God saying, this is the way it should be. Description is saying, this is the way it is, in terms of this is what's happening. A description can tell the historical event, but prescription says, this is the will of God. And there's no prescription on this. But if you look at description, you see most people are spending their time in the morning in Scripture. So I would encourage them to start there. We found out that computer among our guys seemed to be the common theme. Well, I turn on my computer in the morning, and next thing you know, I'm into an email, or I'm into news, I'm looking at this, looking at that, and next thing I'm past my time, I got to get going to work, and then I come in the afternoon, I'm tired, I don't do it in the evening, and I mean to do it the next morning, but the computer gets on again. So in our group said, let's try not to turn on the computer till after we've had our little time with the Lord. One of the things that they're going to assume is that it's going to take a lot more time to be in this praise that we're using than it really means. So I want to model it for them. And so I hope you'll do the same with your guys. And this is how I model it. I'm going to run through this kind of in a quick way, but hopefully you'll get a good picture of how this works. What I did was I said, everybody take your blank sheet, or you can use number one in your 21 days. You can pull down the 21 days online. And let this be your first day. This will count as day number one. And let's do it together. What are you going to use for Scripture each morning? Well, that's your call. I tell you what I like to do and encourage them to do. Take your lesson of the week. You usually have 3, 4, maybe 5 different Scriptures. And let that Scripture be your Scripture for the day. And so read, you know, do your verse there, and keep going through your materials a little each week. That way, this actually becomes a part of your devotion. And so with that, you might take the text, let's see, in our materials this week and this morning. This is what I actually did. It's taking the text of, well, I don't have it open here, but Matthew 6 or 7. And you could simply, you know, take Matthew 6, start reading a little bit of chapter 6, and find a verse or two, because typically that's all you're going to spend time. It's just focusing on a little verse. But take some particular portion of your text and work through that. Now, what I'd use is I used our Scripture memory for this first night. They've already memorized one of the two verses, and maybe they use Joshua 1:8. So I had our guys take their personal worship sheet here, and I say, all right, everybody put a date at the top, and then put the text, Joshua 1:8. And then I said, I'm going to model this. I'm going to show you how this works, and so you join with me as I invite you to do so. And with that, I said, let's start with P, which is to pray and to confess any sin. And I said, guys, all I want to do is I want to talk to the Lord like I would talk to you. I mean, that's the way prayer is. Prayer is just talking to God. And so at that point, I bowed and simply said something like, Lord, really want you to be with me right now. And as these guys watch with me, I pray that you would make this a special time, make this good, and speak to our hearts. And Lord, you know, for me, my challenge is to do the right things for the right reasons. Forgive me for my wrong motivations and so forth. Cleanse my heart now, and let me have a good time worshiping with you. Amen. And then we all looked down here, and I said, all right, let's take our Joshua 1:8, and everybody just do this. Read the text carefully. Look for observations. Whatever you see, just whatever you see it saying, just restate it in just a summary of a sentence or two. And so for me, you know the text, I said, the Word of God must be meditated on all the time. I secondly wrote, the purpose of meditation is obedience. And then I put, to do so is to be prosperous and successful. Then I said, all right, guys, let's take the next. And I said, let's ask questions and to help you interpret. So just ask any question, the who, what, when, where, why, how, to what extent. Those basic serving questions, ask them about your text. Now, I let one or two of them, I said, why don't two of you just read one thing you got about your observation? And then I read mine. Now I have us all take a minute, sit down and do this second part. What I wrote was simply this. What is the equivalent of the book of the law today? Why not have the law depart from one's mouth? What's the big deal there? What's that saying? What does this mean? So those were my questions. I let them first share a couple of their answers, what their questions would be. And then when we came to interpret, I said, guys, this is where we make a distinction between Bible study and personal worship. Bible study would be getting into word studies or cross references, and some of them won't know what those are, commentaries and so forth. But what I'm going to do now is just try with the knowledge I have of my faith, what do I think the answer to those questions would be? I let them first, after we all wrote down our answers, I let a few of them say what their answers were. And then I said, this is what I got. The book of the law is the Word of God. Not to depart from one's mouth means always be chewing on God's truth, be thinking about it. Scripture meditation is imperative for success. And that, what is success? I think it's referring to accomplishing God-given goals. And so I just try to answer my own questions. When we come to summarize specific and measurable applications from the text to your life, I said, now guys, this is where we're going to be tempted to be so vague that it's meaningless. Those two words, specific and measurable, are very important. I say, I like to picture a little devil walking up my shoulder and cupping his hands and speaking to my ear saying, don't be specific, don't be measurable. Just write down, be a better Christian today. Love the Lord more. But nothing that you can measure or follow. So I asked them to do the same, and then I did mine. After a couple of them mentioned their answers, I said, I want to begin today another 21 days spending time in God's Word using only Scripture, using my Scripture memory as that which I will daily meditate. And so that's just a specific that I can do right beginning now. Now, when we finished that, I said, now let's spend time with the Lord. How much time did that take us? I said, with our interaction and you all writing as I am, and I've given you more time than I probably would take collectively, and then our interacting and talking about it, me explaining it, how long did that take? And we looked at our watches and said, well, about 15 minutes. I said, would you say that easily 7 minutes, 7 minutes, we probably did that if we were alone? Well, yeah. Great if you want to spend more time, but you can do it in a brief time. But so now that gives us time to move into prayer. Now I said, here's what I like to do. When you come to God's honor, these are the five targets that we're going through on our MP3s. As you walk through this, we're going to spend with the word number one. We're going to use the Bible on God's honor. Notice it says, acknowledging His worth, glory, and majesty. I said, guys, that's just where it ways to say God's bigness, His goodness, His wonder. And so I have a problem day in and day out doing this, saying, Lord, today I want to honor you. I bow my head and I say, Lord, I just want to acknowledge your splendor and wonder. And so, Lord, you are really a loving God. And God, you are so forgiving. And God, you are so kind. And next week I'm doing the same thing, same words. I'm kind of repeating myself. It feels like it's just not good. So what I started doing years ago is I take a psalm, and I start with Psalm 1, and I just mark where I end. I might read two verses, I might read a whole psalm. It doesn't matter how much I want to read until I find the things there that I'm looking for to stimulate fresh thoughts about God. So in Psalm 3, if you have your Bibles, I'll show you what I'm talking about. I take Psalm 3 and I said it with the guy. I said, let's all read this together. And when you see something in the verse that prompts you, and it doesn't matter if it's accurate or not, but if it prompts you of some word that reminds you of God's goodness, then write it down. So he said, okay, let's start Psalm 3. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. I said, do you see anything? I don't see that. I said, I don't either. Let's move on. Number two, many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. Ah, there's something. What about God being a deliverer? So wrote down the word deliverer. Keep going. But you, Lord, are a shield about me. There's one. He's a shield. My glory. You say he's a God of glory. And the one who lifts up my head. Well, it means when I'm crying, he's a consoler. He helps me. I was crying to the Lord with my voice. He answered me from His holy mountain. I said, well, He's holy. That's something I could write down. I lay down and slept. I woke. The Lord sustains me. So He is the sustainer. I will not be afraid of so and so. Well, He's the protector. So everybody just wrote down those words. And then I said, now, let me just have a word of prayer. And you listen as I might talk to the Lord. And I bowed my head and said, Lord, you're truly the shield and protector. You're your people's glory. You're really what counts most. You're the one that satisfies. You're responsive. You're the Savior. And I just walked through and just commented to the Lord what I saw of Him and how important He is to me. Then you come to God's kingdom, acknowledging His priority in the world and in your life. I said, this is a time that you understand kingdom is God's reign. And His reign can be more intensified, going deeper in lives that love the Lord, or it can be more extensive by praying for lost people. So I said, everybody write down a couple of people you'd like to pray for, or people you'd like to ask God to even save or to work in their hearts and lives. And then I did the same thing, and I said, let's pray. And then I mentioned a guy that I'm meeting with sharing Christ right now. I said, Lord, I'd like to see him just by first name. I said, Lord, I'd love to see him come to you. I talked about a guy I've been praying for a long time, a non-Christian that I really would love to see come to the Lord. I prayed for him. I prayed for my journey group right there. I said, I prayed that the kingdom would come this year in their lives. Prayed for my kids and grandkids, my wife. And so just a quick couple of minutes, and I was finished. And then we got to God's provision, acknowledging His trustworthiness. So guys, this is where, when it says, give us this day our daily bread, that we're going to be thinking in terms of just asking for this, that, and the other, which is fine. But remember what the Scripture says, give us this day our daily bread, is a way of saying, Lord, we trust You today for our daily bread. Yes, Lord, give it to me, but Lord, I trust You that if You choose not to give it to me, it's because You love me. If You give it to me, it's because You love me. But to trust Him for that. And then I had them write down what they like to trust God for. I did the same. Then I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm looking, love to have good weather this weekend. We have a huge event at our church, and we want to make sure that we get the good weather. But, you know, at the same time, I said, Lord, I trust You if we don't get good weather. That's okay as well. And then I prayed for the health, without using names, of some broken marriages that I'm hurting for, and I want to see their marriages better. And so just a couple of things I put on my list. This morning as I was doing mine, I wrote down things that, okay, who am I connecting with today? And I thought of one of our staff members, and I prayed a kingdom would come in his life. I'm meeting with one of my children, and I prayed for that child. So I just took the activities of the day, and that prompts me to think of fresh new things today that I'd like to ask God for, and certainly anything that's a burden or heavy on your heart. Then we come to God's forgiveness, acknowledging your repentance. I said, write down the things that you'd like to repent of. And so everybody wrote down a few things, and then I prayed that which I wanted to repent of, a selfishness top of my list, idols of pleasure, reputation, and how to deal with this. I said, Lord, just forgive me for these things. When I come to God's power, acknowledging His dependence, I said, this is where I want to be just saying, Lord, I want You to fill me with Your Spirit, but I don't want to just use those words. I want to walk through an appropriate, understanding of the filling of the Spirit. And I said, you're going to learn in the next few weeks about that. And so we'll hold on there. But then I just prayed as I would ask God to fill me with the Spirit, saying these three words, old timers to this will know it, leaders, know, consider, and present. You know those words. And so I said, this is a time that I pray that back to the Lord. Speaking of which, one thing I did when I helped them kind of understand my daily process, you share your process, but I said, you know what I like to do when I wake up in the morning? I'll either drop to my knees for 1 minute, I'll sit down in a chair, whatever, 1 minute only, and I will pray. And I pray three resolves, three different resolves. This is something I've done for years. There have been the three most important prayers of my life. And so one, I take my values, love, integrity, faith, and truth. And I pray that in a prayer. It's a very simple prayer. I say, Lord, I bow right that one moment. I said, I'm going to spend time with You more in a few minutes. But for right now, I'm resolved. I just want to let you know today, again, I'm resolved to live by faith with integrity according to truth and to love You and mankind. That's my prayer. Then I say prayer number two. This is the glory, grace, and truth. I say, Lord, today it is my resolve to seek after authentic glory by means of grace according to truth. Glory, grace, and truth. And then my last resolve, Lord, today, this is where the no consider and repent out of Romans 6. Lord, today I want to consider what I know about what you've done in my life and heart. That I was dead in sin. I died to sin. I was broken from the sin nature. I was united with you, Jesus. I've been raised up to newness of life. And in light of that now, I want to present the members of my body as members of righteousness. So for me, it's my head, what I think. It's my mouth, what I say. Ears, what I hear. My heart, what I put my affections on. Every aspect, I just want to give it to you right now. And that's how I closed my prayer in this time. And so I walked through that, telling my resolves, and found out not long ago that Jonathan Edwards, one of my heroes of the faith, that he had 21, 30 resolves, I forget, that he would constantly use. And I've been doing these three for years, and I certainly find them to be an advantage to me. But I say, I do that little prayer, I get something to eat, kind of get awake a little bit, and then I spend my time with the Lord, help them understand that. With that, we broke. We didn't do the rest of the materials because this took a few minutes, and I wanted them to get this more than anything else. So I would encourage you leaders, work hard with your guys, taking them through this, or your ladies, taking them through this so that they see it modeled and see it's pretty simple and that they can do it in 20, 25, max 30 minutes. They can spend more time, but not feel they have to. I'd rather see them repeat something over and over and get good routines than otherwise. So with that, I hope that helps you kind of get a feel of how I worked with my group and how you might want to work with your group. There's no right or wrong. You do as you feel led, but I hope you have a great, great week this week and help your people learn to walk well with the Lord. So have a great week this week.